Our scripture today comes from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. Now, Hebrews is a letter that is full of faith, it's full of hope, it's full of love. It's almost poetic in its content. And I would have loved to have been able to have been labeled the author of the book of Hebrews because of the faith that is just radiating from every word that's contained in this scripture. But I can't take credit for it. Actually, we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some say it could have been Barnabas, some Apollos, some Luke, some Paul. I think the general tend is for people to credit Paul with having written the book, but we don't know. We don't know who wrote it, but we do know why they wrote this book. The purpose was to show how that Jesus Christ had replaced Judaism as God's way of revealing himself to the people, as God's way of providing salvation for mankind. A woman called up a pet shop one day. Manager answered the phone and she says, "I need you to send me 10,000 cockroaches just as quick as you can." Man says, "Well, any world, lady, do you want with 10,000 cockroaches?" She says, "Well," she says, "I'm moving today, and my lease says that I must leave this place in the same condition that I found it." The people that received this letter from the Hebrews were in a similar predicament. Their Jewish leaders was trying to draw them back into the temple. They were trying to get them to come back into the synagogue and go through all of the same rituals and the same things that they had done week after week after week after week for their entire lives as their form of Jewish worship. They were being wrangled back in. And why were they so anxious to go back? I don't know if I'd have been anxious to go back or not. After having had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I would want to turn back and start all over again. You know, when we accept Christ, when we try to live according to the will of God, you know what we do? We step back. We step out of our comfort zone. Because it's easy to go to church, sit on the pew, sing a song or two, get up and go home, same old every Sunday. That's simple. That's easy. But when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He's calling us, like I preached once before, to get out of the boat. Step out and to walk on the water. He's calling us to get out of our comfort zone. The first chapter of Hebrews proclaims the superiority of Christ. Christ is superior to all things. Everything that's alive, everything that's dead, everything that ever was, everything that ever will be. Jesus Christ is superior. The radiance of God's glory is seen in Christ. Christ is the exact representation of the Father. Christ is a mirror image of God. And Christ is the only way that we have to salvation. The writer calls our attention to the contrast between Jesus and the prophets. The prophets were recognized as instruments through whom God spoke. We all have read in the prophet Isaiah, God was speaking through Isaiah to the people, to the children of Israel. And the prophets, prophet Amos, all of these prophets, God spoke to, and they delivered the message. Even the prophet Amos says in chapter 3 of the book of Amos, verse 7, surely the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servant, the prophets. But now God speaks to us how? Through his son Jesus. God speaks to us through the words of Jesus Christ. The message of each prophet was written especially for what was going on in their lives at that particular time. Whatever the children of Israel was facing, the message from God through the prophets addressed that particular situation. And you know, God will address the situations in our lives today if we will just trust in him to do it. We all have things that come into our life that we don't know what to do with. We don't know how to handle the situation. But God knows the situation and he can speak directly to that situation in our life. God spoke through the prophet Hosea, who had a bitter home life. And he realized that God was a wonderful, loving, and forgiving God. But no prophet, no preacher has ever been able to grasp the full truth of God. They cannot comprehend the whole truth of Jesus Christ. But with Jesus, everything's different. The prophets couldn't comprehend it. But with Jesus, everything is different. Jesus was not part of the truth like the disciples were receiving, but Jesus himself was the whole truth. The prophets were friends of God. But Jesus, the Jesus I'm talking about this morning, he was the Son of God. The prophets understood part of the mind of God. But Jesus understood it all because he was the mind of God. The writer of Hebrews is not saying that there's a break between the Old Testament revelations and the New Testament revelations. Instead, he's directing our attention toward the continuity. A continuity that ends in consummation, which means complete and perfect in every way. You know, our lives can be complete and perfect spiritually in every way when we commit ourselves to Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, in these last days, he, talking about God, has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. You know, God spoke many times and in many ways to humanity before this. We can recall how God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. He spoke to the three Hebrew children in the middle of the fiery furnace. He was the fourth man in the fire. God speaks to us. He even spoke to the people through a donkey. I've wondered about that one. Jesus speaks to us. He said, well, I've never heard him say anything. He speaks through the Word. When we sit down and we read and study the pages in our Bible, the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts and give us the comfort and the peace that we need. But you know, when God sent his Son Jesus to speak to us, one word said it all. That one word was Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That word sums up everything. That's all that we ever need to know is Jesus. Because we can say that name, we can call on that name anytime, anywhere, and receive the strength and the guidance that we need. In verse 3, we're talking about the glory of Jesus that is exactly like that of the Father. Jesus is a reflection of God's glory. He's the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by the power of his word. You know he can sustain us when he can speak the word and create us. That's what he did back in Genesis 2. He spoke the world, the heavens, everything. He spoke it into existence. And yet we can't trust him to help us find a better job. We can't trust him to forgive us of our sins and to help us to live a holy life. That one word, Jesus, sums it all up. Through Christ, God has revealed himself in a form that we can comprehend. People are meant to have the characteristics of the divinity, to be holy and sacred, supremely good, very pleasing. Does that describe your character today? As Christians, it should. Matthew 5, verse 48 says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." God created humanity in his own image. This image was deeply marred with sin that entered through Adam and Eve and Satan. But in Christ, our nature is changed. We become a new creation. When we accept Jesus Christ, everything is changed. And we become like him. Jesus sustains all things by the power of his word. John in Revelation 4:11 had this same thought. Whenever John said, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Every one of us at one time or another has a tendency to think about, "Well, I'm just not any good to anybody. I'm just useless." You're just as useful as anybody has ever been. Because we are created, we are made to praise and honor God. Scripture tells us that he inhabits the praises of his people. And if we praise God, he will be with us. Scripture tells us that where two or three are gathered together, he is in our midst. What more could we possibly ask for? The Father-Son relationship between God and his Son Jesus is a beautiful picture. The Father and the Son each are a vital part, one of the other. Each is an essential part of the completeness of the relationship. In John 10, verses 30 says, "When we see the Father, we see the Son." Jesus says, "I and my Father are one." We have all of the provisions that we need this morning. Today is World Communion Sunday, and we're celebrating communion. On this Sunday, we celebrate our oneness in Christ Jesus in the midst of the world that we're called together to serve. We're called to be united together in a community of faith. And on World Communion Sunday, we should accept the challenge that Jesus has presented. We discussed three ways to describe Jesus. One, Jesus is a reflection of God's glory. Two, Jesus is the exact imprint of God's very being. And three, Jesus is the sustainer of all things by the power of his word. Jesus is the eternal word or self-expression of God. That word is the giver of life and the light to all mankind. And that giver then becomes both the gift of life and the sustainer of life to all who would believe in the word. The word says to cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you. This morning I invite you to do just that. Cast your burdens on Jesus and allow him to sustain you by his powerful word as we prepare to take of Holy Communion this morning. Who is Jesus to you? Let us pray. Loving Savior, we ask that you forgive us of our sins. Help us, Lord, to be thankful and to praise you because you do sustain us day by day through your word, through your grace, and through your love. Forgive us of our sins, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.